there's a insert there with the order of service and some things in the service you can fill in here as we go through this morning. But one of the saddest messages, and it's a sad message for me, but it's sadder this year because I've heard recently that a lot of churches, a lot of pastors are choosing to no longer speak about life, and that is disturbs me. I think that's one of the things that God calls us to do. But all lives matter. I realize that's not a popular title. Today it's a tragedy of America, of what we see going on. If you've been here the last couple of years, you know that this is one of my favorite. I show this one every year on the Sanctity of Life Sunday. This one is evolution, man decides truth, and you see the different balloons over here, humanism, racism, obviously a big one in our nation today, euthanasia, which we're going to talk about, pornography, homosexual behavior, family breakup, and the top one up here is abortion. That's just some of the flags that our society is flying. And over here is the problem, which I think is really good. This stands for Christianity over here. It says it right here. Creation, God's word is truth, and we believe that. But as a society and as its church, not as a society, but as churches, this is what we're doing. We're firing at all these different balloons that are in the sky, and we're picking a topic, and we have people standing against abortion, we have people standing against pornography, but we don't realize that it all comes from their view of God's word. They deny God's word, and they look at how we're firing, and they're firing at our basis. They're spending all their time attacking the truth of God's word, and we're not defending the word of God. We're caught up in all these different things, but we do need to speak out for life. We do need to speak out against abortion, but we need to realize that the viewpoint of the world comes from how they have disowned God's word. I don't know if you know that there's an app that you can put on your phone. And I've seen people do it. A lot of people post it usually each week. Somebody has a picture of themselves as a teenager, as a 20 or 30 year old. And this app will age you 40 to 60 years. And you can see that it does a face aging machine on Android. I know people who use that and have used it and put it on. Some of them, I feel like commenting and saying, you know, you look better in 40 years than you do now. If most of us here did that, I'm not going to put my picture on because if I put my picture on over here, 40 to 60 years is going to be a blank picture. I'm not going to be here in 40 to 60 years, so I'm probably not going to spend my time seeing how I age. But that's what our world likes to do. People want to know what they look like in 40 to 60 years, but unfortunately, our society doesn't care about this picture. The fetus is ripped apart in a womb. The fetus is torn apart, killed, and thrown out in the garbage, all in the name of women's rights. I don't know if you've ever seen a driver go to a mall or to the store and they park, a healthy person parks in a no parking zone. And I've seen people get really upset. I've heard people yell at the driver when they get out, and they don't like to see people take advantage of a free parking spot or closer parking spot. Yet, so often today, a woman who is pregnant will go to her doctor, and the child may be less than perfect, or the woman might say, you know, I'm not sure I want this child, and the doctor will encourage her to have an abortion. In our society, an elderly person is said to have had a less than quality life ahead of them. So it's okay to kill them. You see, in the parking space issue, the first one I talked about, people are going to stand up and demand the rights of someone. They don't want to see someone take advantage of a free, closer parking spot. But in the final two examples, the one about abortion, the one about the elderly, people don't care about the rights, do they? People don't talk about the rights of the child. People don't talk about the right of the issue of the elderly. They just want to get rid of the issue. They want to get rid of the problem. The problem child or the problem older person in our society who is just draining our society of funds. Let me put my sheet up here. The unborn, the elderly, the terminally ill are looked at as being disposable. Their problem is that they have no real intrinsic value. And in a society that does that, we become naturally very lax about protecting both ends of the spectrum. We don't care about babies as a society, and we also don't care about the elderly in our society. Neither one of them are contributing anything, so it's okay to devalue their worth. Abortion really came about in the early 70s. And back then, people let it happen. We didn't talk about it. We didn't stand against it. And it's led certainly from abortion to the devaluing of every human life. Francis Schaeffer was a Christian intellectual. Anybody ever heard of, anybody ever see anything of Francis Schaeffer? Any read any of his books? Okay, Cheryl did. We had to in college. It was, he wrote a book called How Should We Then Live? He looked like a Quaker. He had kind of long gray hair and a long beard. And he had a place, I think it was called Cabri. I think it was in the mountains of Switzerland. He was a brilliant, brilliant Christian apologist. And as a matter of fact, he would talk. We had to watch his How Should We Then Live series in Bible college for fine arts. It was considered fine arts, even though it was a Christian production. And he would talk, and you'd kind of like, what did he just say? So he was brilliant. But I want to read a couple of things that he talked about back in the early 70s. This is our, in talking about the response to abortion, okay? He said, our evangelical leadership, that's us, our churches, seems to have forgotten its heritage. Many of the evangelical leadership either were totally silent about abortion, or they qualified what they did say about abortion to such an extent that they really said nothing or less than nothing. As far as the human battle for life was concerned, he goes on and he writes this. We must understand that the question of the dignity of human life is not something on the periphery of Judeo-Christian thinking, but almost in the center of it. Although not the center, because the center is the existence of God himself. But the dignity of human life is remarkably linked to the existence of the personal, finite, or infinite God. Life and defending life is linked to the existence of an infinite God. And we have forgotten that. We have, the churches, as I said, the churches are becoming silent about this. It breaks my heart to hear that pastors are not addressing this at least once a year. We should be addressing life almost every Sunday. But when pastors no longer speak against it, church is becoming part of the problem too, isn't it? And that's what Francis Schaeffer is saying. Back when this all occurred, many evangelical leaders said, well, yeah, maybe abortion's wrong. But they didn't speak out against it. They did not really stand up to defend life. And when this was written, back in the, well, not when this was written, back probably about 7 or 8 years ago, there were two states that you could go to for euthanasia. In other words, to have someone killed or you could be killed there. It was Oregon and Washington. Since then, Colorado, Washington, D.C., Hawaii, Montana, California, Maine, and New Jersey, and Vermont. I'm sorry, 10 of them altogether. You can go to all those states, and it's legal to kill someone, an elderly person, a person who society says has no value. And our society, people think that their values, their solutions, their answers hold almost the same quality as God's. They believe that there are many times their answers are superior to God's. And even in the church, we're allowing this to occur. When we decide that an unborn child doesn't have value, that it's really unwanted, that it really, it's going to be mentally retarded, or it's going to have physical things that are just going to drain our society from finances, When we decide that a child no longer needs an opportunity for life, when we decide that someone's life is no longer of any value, it's okay to kill them because they're elderly, they have no quality of life, they're no longer useful, we have a problem. And our church has been silent about it, but God's word is not silent. And I'm going to spend most of my time this morning, I'll give you the passages and I'll just ask you to write them down and look them up themselves. I don't have them up on the screen, but it is a lot of verses I'm going to be sharing this morning. But as I talk about this, I want you to understand, I didn't choose this title, All Lives Matter, casually. If some of you have probably seen comments I've received on social media when I stand up and I say, All Lives Matter, back in the spring when everything, the Black Lives Matter movement was really getting in full swing, I would comment and I would say, I agree, Black Lives Matter, but all lives matter. And I would say I'm probably hated by many people for saying that. There's people who disagree with me, people who would call me out. People said that I was being inconsiderate to Black Lives Matter because people think Black Lives Matter and saying all lives matter is rude. And in my mind, I cannot understand that. If you say Black Lives Matter, then all lives should matter, right? I don't understand that. And I put something on one time because Cheryl was and I were having a discussion. She said, Ron, unless Black Lives Matter, all lives don't matter. And I kind of posted that and I said, I'm trying to sort this through in my mind. And I put that on and I had a black friend, and I told you this back in the spring, contact me. A black Christian friend called me. And her and her husband were very upset that they thought that I was watering down the gospel. And they said, Pastor, we respect you. We've sat under your ministry for years, and we respect what you're saying. We don't want you to water down the gospel. And they're saying it as a black person. They said, black lives do matter, but Pastor Ron, all lives matter. And they were quite upset that I was doing away with the all lives matter term. And I said, that's not what I'm saying at all, but I need to understand that, yes, black lives matter, but all lives matter. And I've talked to people and I said, I would not march in a White Lives Matter march. I wouldn't march in a Blue Lives Matter march, though I agree both of them do. I would march in all lives. Is that the sign you carried that time in town? Was it All Lives Matter? Sue said at prayer meeting one time that she said, I just feel like I need to do something. And she marched downtown when the Black Lives Matter march was going on in town. And Sue got a lot of support. She had some people who probably yelled some things or thought some things that probably weren't appropriate for her sign, but she had a lot of people come up and support her for that, for taking that stand. But that's my point this morning, folks, is we're going to take heat for saying all lives matter, but I just have a real problem with people say only black lives matter. I've seen posts, people putting up white lives matter on Stony Fork Road back in the summer. Somebody had white lives matter. Why are we saying one particular group? My question, and I've said it to somebody who got really upset with me about saying all lives matter. I said, if you're just defending Black Lives Matter, would you have taken a sign in Germany back in the 40s and walked down and said, Jewish lives matter? Would you have done that? Would you walk the streets of Iraq today and say, Muslim women's lives matter? Because in Muslim territories and countries, women are treated like dirt. Would you hold up a sign that says that? Or are you just so upset because of our culture and you're just picking out one category and saying, just this group's lives matter? Folks, we need to come to grips because all lives matter, because if black lives matter, black babies' lives would matter. And that's the number one aborted race in our society, is black lives. So if you go to the Black Lives Matter website, you will see what they really stand for is causing disunity. And that's what this black woman who called me, she said, Pastor Ron, do you realize Black Lives Matter started under our first black president? Do you realize that our black president caused more racism than any event in our nation? This is coming from a black person. She said, I have a lot of black friends who do support Black Lives Matter, but I have just as many who think that all lives matter. So don't think I'm a racist because I'm saying that. I believe, excuse me, all lives matter. And when God's heart aches out, he cries to us, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and my ways are higher than your ways. And what he is saying to us, and we're going to look at this morning, is that all life has value. And we have three points here this morning. All lives matter because God created it. God created it. God creating man is the foundation of that castle that we looked at in the beginning. God's word says that God created man in his own image. Genesis 1:27. In Colossians 1:16, and again, I don't have these all up here. I do have Colossians 1:16 up here. It says, it tells us, in him all things were created. Job 10:12 says, life is protected by God. It says, thy care has preserved my spirit. Your care has preserved my spirit. Psalm 91:11 says, his angels will take charge concerning you. Isaiah 49:16 says, God values life. He says, I've inscribed you on the palms of my hand. That's God talking to us. I've inscribed you on the palms of my hand. Jeremiah 31:3 says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. This is God talking to us. I've loved you with an everlasting love. Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. God created life. John 10:10, I have come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. God created life. I don't know if you've ever built something. I'm not a builder. If you've created something from nothing, I mean, not nothing, you're not God, but I mean, if you built something from just wooden nails, that's pretty impressive to me. If you've done it with work, if you've done it with wood, if you've done it with food. I had Pop-Tarts this morning for breakfast with a glass of milk. I'm a great culinary Pop-Tart cooker. I can, not frosted, I don't put the frosted stuff on them, that ruins them, but unfrosted strawberry Pop-Tarts, I had that. You would say you make them as good as anybody, Pastor. I do. I'm good with Pop-Tarts. Last week we had steak for dinner, and I did it on the grill. I can do some things on the grill. But ask me to put. We watched a lot of holiday cooking shows that Cheryl wanted to watch, dessert cooking on the Food Channel, and that amazed me. They told people you have a half hour. You need to make a gingerbread house. And you've got to have Santa Claus on it. And these people in there, and they're whipping stuff up. And then they'd throw stuff at them and say, oh, your gingerbread house has to contain chili. And I'm watching this and thinking, how in the world would you do that? So people had in a half hour had to make chili, had to make the gingerbread house, had to assemble it, had to put Santa Claus on it. And I'm thinking, how do people do that? It's amazing. But if you've ever built anything or formed something, pies, bookshelves, a house, Larry does all this work, you take pride in that. And when those people stood up in front of the judges in the cooking show, they wanted to win. And when one was rejected, their face hung down and they'd walk off. They were kicked off the program because somebody said, I can taste a little too much allspice in your gingerbread house. How can you distinguish? I couldn't distinguish. I wouldn't know if it was ginger or if it was allspice or cinnamon or what, you know. But these distinguished palates could tell. And people were just kind of like, oh, I lost. Have you ever had a child or a grandchild bring you a picture and they're so excited? They drew it themselves. I've seen moms are a lot better at this than dads. I understand that. But your kid brings you something and you get up, you say, oh, that's really nice. And then you leave it there, you drop it on the floor. Have you ever seen the look on their face when they think you don't care? I can imagine that's how God feels. Every time someone says, I don't want this child, I don't want this baby, it's unplanned, it's unwanted. You know what? There's not and never has been one unplanned pregnancy in God's eyes. Never. Because we said at the beginning of that video, it said every life was from God. So every one of the 78 to 85 million children have been aborted since abortion was legalized. Every one of them was planned by God. Let that sink in because it's true, because God created it. Number two, oh, I'm sorry I had that up there. That's how God views abortion. Okay, that's, I forgot to put that screen up. Number two, God said it matters. Why do all lives matter? Because God said it matters. The world says we have to have a certain quality of life to be valuable. But God has a very different outlook. I've thought a number of times it would be great. I would love to go back and see the world when God created. I would love to go back to the Garden of Eden before telephone poles and roadways were put in. And just be able to, Ron was talking about hiking with Dick Weber. Wouldn't it have been awesome just to be able to hike the world and just go up in the mountains and just walk the world before man did anything to it at all? That's one of the requests I hope when I get to heaven, that God, let me just go walk the earth as you created. I'd love to do that. But wouldn't it be awesome if God's original plan had gone without any interference, if man had not stepped in, if man had not built all these things, if man had not tried to have his own way? There wouldn't be pain, there wouldn't be imperfection, there wouldn't be any injustice, there wouldn't be any death. And yet God enables us to trust him in life. He says, cast all your anxiety on me because he cares for you. He also tells us in John 16:33, in this world you're going to have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. Unfortunately, our world does devalue those who are not whole in our view. Whether it's a child, whether it's an older person, whether it's someone who has a handicap, physical handicap or emotional handicap. I want you to think back to Jesus' ministry. He showed love, he showed compassion to those who would have been valueless in his time. The lame, remember the people, men sitting laying by the pool, the blind, the woman who had the issue of blood for years and she had tried many doctors and no one could do anything for her, and she finally reached out and touched the hem of his robe. We're guilty of sin every time we look down on people who we say have no value. And I'm not saying us as a church, if we do, we have a problem. If we look down on if we are racist in any way, if we look down on blacks and think they're not worth our time, I think there is racism in our society, but it goes every way. It's not just against blacks. I really believe it's going to be just as bad for whites in the coming years, because that's where our society is heading. But obviously, the Jewish people have been mistreated. Like I said, Muslim women are despised. Gays are hated. We cannot look down on anyone just because we consider them to be different. Studies have showed that 90% of couples who are told that they are carrying a Down syndrome child will have an abortion. 90%. 90% of people will choose to abort their child. We have several friends who have either a Down syndrome child or a Down syndrome relation. Good friends of ours from Corning who now live in North Carolina, they just posted, how old is Tom? Is he almost 70, mid-60s? Tom has pneumonia. He's been a sharp, sharp guy. He was part of our church the whole time we were there, and we've known him for years. Down syndrome. But he works each day through the program up in Corning, and he's dying. And Jim and Kathy are up now from North Carolina, because they're just trying to keep him comfortable, as you probably heard that with Joe, but they're just trying to keep Tom comfortable. But we know Tom. Like Spencer loved Tom. My son loved Uncle Tom. And they said he was the most kind person. And that's what people who have a Down syndrome child said, that child's the light of their life. That the most loving, the most tender, the most compassionate person they know. Can they have issues? Certainly. Do you have issues? Do I have issues? Yes. But for people, 90% to say this child's not going to amount to anything, talk to people who've allowed that child to live and hear what kind of an impact that person can have. What about the post-abortive woman who struggles with the reality that she's killed her child? As a youth pastor, I've talked to dozens of women who've done that. I've talked to post-abortive fathers who are now dealing with the reality that what they did was a sin. They murdered their child. The terminally ill person who's in the nursing home, Joe's there every day in the nursing home or in the assisted care. But think about all these people in the nursing home for this past year have not been able to see anyone. And I've talked to people from the Green Home and the Carlton who said people have died because they just want someone to come in and visit them, and no one does. They can't see anyone. Imagine that, because not just because family can't get there, but we were there as a church doing one of our Wednesday night programs at the Green Home. And I sat and talked to one of the ladies, and Cheryl will remember this. She was with me. And I said, how long have you been here? She goes, I've been here like 27 years. I said, you have family in the area? She goes, I have a son and a daughter. And she goes, my daughter will come maybe once a year if I'm lucky. My son has never seen me. Isn't that sad? People who say, well, you know, they raised me, they did a good job, but now this lady's mind was sharp, so I don't know what her son's excuse could be. You know, it's not like she wouldn't know who he is if he came to see her. But even if she didn't, these people feel isolated and alone, but God said those lives matter. I want to read just a section of Max Lucado's book. You know, I'm a big Max Lucado's fan. He has a book called Your Place at God's Table. And I want you to listen to what he writes. He says, in my closet hangs a sweater that I seldom wear. It's too small. The sleeves are too short. The shoulders are too tight. Some of the buttons are missing. And the thread is frazzled. I should throw that sweater away. I have no use for it. I'll never wear it again. Logic says I should clear out the space and get rid of that sweater. That's what logic says. But love won't let me. Something unique about that sweater makes me keep it. What's unusual about it? For one thing, it has no label. Nowhere on the garment will you find a tag that reads made in Taiwan or washed in cold water. It has no tag because it was not made in a factory. It has no label because it wasn't produced on an assembly line. It isn't the product of a nameless employee earning a living. It's the creation of a devoted mother expressing her love. The sweater is unique. It's one of a kind. It can't be replaced. Each strand was chosen with care. Each thread was selected with affection. Listen to this. It's not valuable because of its function, but what? Because of its what? Because of its maker. That's what he's saying about his sweater. And that's what God would say about life. Life is valuable because God is the one who created it. And God is the one who says it matters. Jesus said in Matthew 25:40, if you want to write that down, to what extent you did it to the least of these, my brothers of mine, you did it to me. Matthew 25:40. God placed great value on the people in his society. Jesus went around people. He didn't push the leper aside. He didn't tell the demon-possessed woman to get away. He didn't tell the woman who came to him and touched the hem of his garment. And I did a whole message on that a couple of years ago. What did Jesus do in that woman? He turned around and he said, who touched me? And she trembled because she thought she was in trouble. Jesus said, I felt the power go out of me. And then he called her daughter. And that sounds kind of hard and callous, but this woman had not been talked to, had not been touched. Her own husband, if she had been married, couldn't touch her because of the issue of blood. He would have been unclean. And she hadn't heard anybody speak to her nicely at all, probably ever speak to her at all, except get out of my way. Get out of your filthy woman. And Jesus said, daughter. He was moved with compassion. And you know what? You and I are his hands to do that same thing to people around us. We need to communicate to people that all lives matter because God says every life counts. All lives matter because God created it. All lives matter because God said it matters. And God, all lives matter because all lives are eternal. Eternity exists for everyone. You realize that? You and I, everyone who's black, everyone who's white, everyone who's Indian, everyone who's Muslim, eternity exists for everyone. But eternal life belongs only to those who have trusted Christ as their Savior. And that's where people really get upset. You're being very exclusive. You're being very judgmental when you say things like that. Well, just repeating what God's word says. Oh, I was going to point, our flags are different right now. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life is normally what we have up on our banners, except for Christmas. But God says every life counts. Every life is eternal. Psalm 139, verses 15 and 16 says, "My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance." Jesus said in John 3:3, "I tell you the truth, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." See, our earthly life is just a prelude to eternity. Now, be careful you don't misunderstand what I'm saying there. I'm not saying that our earthly life here is anything like our eternal life. That's not at all what I'm saying. But Hebrews 9:27 says, "It's appointed a man to die once, and then after that you face judgment." John 14:2 says, "In my Father's house are dwelling places, for I go to prepare a place for you." John 5:13 says, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." Everyone's going to have eternal life. Everyone. It's just those who trust in Jesus Christ are going to have eternal life in heaven. Those who reject God's message are going to have eternal life in hell. See, all human life is valuable because God created it in his own image. God says it's valuable. And God says it's eternal, and there's only one way to heaven. Any violation of God's ways, the Bible describes as sin. There's only one effective way to get to heaven. We need to trust in Jesus Christ. It's not being a member of a church. It's not going out and marching in a protest. It's not going to the Washington, D.C. I think the D.C. March for Sanctity of Life is either this next Saturday or the Saturday after. It's not because we live in America. I've had a discussion with my son this week. It's not, he kind of thought that I was equating Christianity with being an American and being a Republican. I said, that's not the case at all. God has people from every nation in the world as part of his church. But it's only people who trust in Jesus Christ. So how do we do that? Number one, we acknowledge that we're sinners separated from God. The Bible says, excuse me, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. So we need to acknowledge our sin before the Lord. Number two, we need to believe that Jesus made provision when he died on the cross for our sins. As many as received him, John 1:12 says, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. Jesus made the provision. And then receive him as your personal Lord and Savior. As many as received him, he gave the right to become the child of God. I have those verses switched back. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and receive him in your heart and you raise from the dead, you will be saved. That's the message we need to take out to the world. It's not that God hates abortion. God does hate abortion. God loves life, but he doesn't hate those who've had an abortion. And we need to be very careful of how we communicate. And I need to be careful because that's what I've been accused of, is not being gracious towards sinners. You know, I love my church family. But you know what? You're all sinners too, right? You still sinners? I love you. I hope you love me. I'm a sinner. I'm not perfect. And I don't expect anybody to be perfect until I become perfect. And I'm never going to be. So I don't ever want to come across as being judgmental and condemning of someone because they don't know Christ as their Savior. I want to love them to Christ. And if you ever think on my post that I'm saying something that's unloving or judgmental, please let me know that. Write to me privately, or you can say it on the page if you want. Say, Pastor, you know that's not very gracious. I'd appreciate hearing it. But folks, too often we hear people who disagree with us. We think they're lost. We think they're worthless, and we kind of devalue them. And that's kind of what my son thought this week, is that I was devaluing his opinion because it's different than mine. I said, no, that's not the case at all. I want to see you loving Christ in that relationship with Christ, but I value your opinion. I value your life. Folks, we can be lights in the world without blowing out everyone else's light, or without blowing out everyone else's life. We need to point them to Jesus Christ. We need to love them to the Savior. And that's our calling. But all lives matter, and that's what we need to stand on. We're going to close with the song Grace. You can stay seated if you want, but this is a Michael W. Smith song, and I just love it, and I think it's perfect for what we just talked about. We need to be telling the truth, but seasoned with grace. You can stand if you want, but Michael W. Smith.
I was lost when you found me here. You pulled me close and held me near. And I'm a fool, but still you love. I'll be a fool for the King of Love. You gave me wings so I could fly, and gave me a song to color the sky. And all I have is all from you. And all I want is all of you. It's grace, your grace.
I'm nothing without you.
Your
grace, your grace
shines
on me.
There've been days when I've walked away, too much to carry, nothing left to say. Forgive me, Lord, when I'm weak and lost, for you traded heaven for a wooden cross. And all these years you carried me, you've been my eyes when I could not see. And beauty grows in the driving rain. Your oil of gladness in the times of pain. Your grace,
your grace, your grace. I'm nothing without you.
Your
grace, your grace.
Shine. Your grace,
your grace, your grace. I'm nothing without you. Your grace
shines on me. Oh yeah, shines on me.
The Bachelor is back.
Bachelor's back. Your grace shines on me. I want it to shine through us too. I want the world to see, man, there's something different about them. And they're not hateful. They're not like other Christians. And that's one of the arguments that people used against me this year. They said, well, you're speaking for these Christians who go out to these military cemetery funerals, and they say, God hates this. God hates the homosexual. God hates us. God hates sin. He does not hate the homosexual. He does not hate the woman who had abortion. We need to let God's grace shine on us and through us. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your grace for me. And Lord, I pray that You would forgive me for times that I probably have communicated either through my attitude or my words or kind of in a harsh way that my way is the only way. Lord, may it never come across as my way. May I always communicate your way is the only way. But Lord, help me to be loving and full of grace. And Lord, when we stand up for All Lives Matter, help us to be sensitive to people who would look at it a little bit differently. But Lord, help us to never back down from the truth because you created it, you say it matters, and every life is eternal. Help us to point them to your grace and your love and your mercy in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to take